A career soldier, Hooker had compiled a commendable record leading from the front as a brigade, division, and corps commander. Shot in the foot at Antietam, he was convinced he could run the Potomac Army far better than McClellan or Burnside. The Northern press hailed his replacing Burnside, but both Halleck, who had a long-running feud with Hooker, and Stanton strenuously opposed the move. Lincoln coupled the appointment with a frank letter to Hooker, admonishing him for his naked ambition. Lee was surprised when he heard the news, but it came with no great respect for Hooker's ability to handle such a large command. Hooker had an equally low opinion of Lee, considering him a subpar officer. The army bequeathed to Fighting Joe was not as bad as Burnside's detractors made it out to be, but it needed repair. Morale was back in the dumps, divisions were poorly policed, and medical services were substandard. Hooker found desertions running at 200 a day, with relatives sending soldiers packages of civilian clothes to help them flee. Hooker ordered his commissary officers to issue troops vegetables and bread twice a week and upgraded field hospitals. He passed out medals and had the men sew on shoulder patches designating their corps to instill martial spirit and unit pride. Morale improved. Sick list numbers and desertions dropped. But feuding generals under Hooker still grumbled behind his back, and Halleck grew irritated when he bypassed him to deal directly with Lincoln, who continued to worry that his new army commander was too cocky. Hooker also reformed his army's intelligence-gathering operation. As a division commander, he had chafed at the dearth of information he received from higher headquarters on the enemy, and had eagerly employed his own spies, many of them escaped slaves. He had no qualms about working with Lafayette Baker and the seamy covert tactics he employed. When McClellan headed the Army of the Potomac, Hooker had one of Lowe's balloons assigned to him and flew in it. When he took over the Army of the Potomac, he found no intelligence documents on Confederate forces in his headquarters. Recalled his chief of staff, Daniel Butterfield, "We were almost as ignorant of the enemy in our immediate front as if they had been in China."